All right. Get back to the people in a second. Let's touch the table on some football. David, music, please. I know what this is going to be. This has got receipts. What is this, the Brad Holmes segment?
Yes.
Receipts?
Sponsored by Brad Holmes.
No. All right, let's go.
All right, guys. College football, especially the local teams, are getting ready to start. So let's do a little futures look and see what we think is going to happen. I'm going to offer you some props, and you tell me over or under, and we'll come back at the end of the year and see how correct we were.
All right.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
It's so good. Evan Jenkins is joining us.
Oh, I can't wait. I love this.
All right, let's just start off with David's team, University Cass of Tech. Michigan.
Oh.
Over, under in victories, 8.5.
Over.
Okay, I'll go next because David offered nothing there. I'm going to say under because there's going to be growing pains for the quarterback, and he's going to make some errors down the stretch in games that are going to cost him.
See, that's where you're wrong because he's going to lead them because he is Bryce Underwood.
Okay, a couple Heismans and a natty.
I got Bryce Underwood's props a little bit later in this segment. So,
Kenny?
I'll do the under because I had 8 when he was asking it, new quarterback. Yeah, it's under for me.
Same. I think they could be good. I think Bryce can have great moments. I just, when it's a freshman QB, what do you want me to do? I'll go under.
I'm going to go under as well. A lot what Evan said. I think there's going to be a lot of growing pains this year. Kind of looking forward to next year.
So. Just so much on his shoulders.
Bryce Underwood is so good. He can parallel park a 747.
Throws both handed.
Right. Well, he ate an orange from an apple tree.
40-yard bombs with the left hand, dude.
Okay. Let's just stick with Bryce Underwood.
Okay. Over.
Over, under, total touchdowns this season, both passing and running, over, under, 14.5.
Over. I'll go over because I do think his physicality and the size profile, he can be a weapon inside the 5, the QB power, some read option stuff. I'll go over.
Do you really need my answer? It's going to be over for sure. 14.5 is low.
God, that's a good number because my question is, if he fumbles early in the season, do they still count on him going through with the running? But it's Bryce Underwood, so it's over. I mean, that might happen on Friday night or Saturday night.
I'm going to go under because getting into the 5 requires actually getting inside the 5, and that might be a problem for a quarterback with growing pains.
You guys are missing it. It's over. Do you know Bryce Underwood made a tsunami turn around by simply standing on the beach?
He was like, whoa! Stopping his tracks.
I thought he told Chuck Norris to sit down.
That's right. He called Chuck Norris a bitch. Right. It's over 14 for me. Go ahead.
I'm going to go under, but there's a reason why.
Because you're a Sparty. No.
Mikey Keene's coming in.
No. Over, under. Bryce turnovers, 11.5.
I'm going to say under because I still believe they're going to limit it. Like, they're going to allow him to get comfortable. They're going to run the football. They're going to lean on their defense. I'll say under. How many throws are they going to allow?
I say 20 a game.
But it's... Passing, I mean, it's interceptions and fumble.
I'll say under. Bryce Underwood doesn't fumble.
20 interceptions again?
Other people fumble when they make eye contact with Bryce Underwood.
I was saying, I don't think he's going to throw the ball many times, more than 20.
So you're going under?
I'm going under as well. They're going to protect him, man.
Yeah, I'll go under, too. I don't think they're going to give him the chance to do that.
They will give him a chance, so he will have over.
Wow.
They run a lot of short routes, too, that
you're
are hazy throws to the tight end. Klein said he's going to be the best tight end in the nation. Not for him, but for the team.
I'm going to go over most freshmen, especially true freshman quarterbacks, very especially early in the year, turnover prone.
So I'm the Wolverine slap here who said under the turnover number.
I said under.
Yeah. And Kenny said under as well.
Yeah. We all
do you know Bryce Underwood solved the Middle Eastern crisis without ever picking up a phone?
Last, Bryce Underwood passing yards over under 2,099.5 yards.
Like, what did Davis Warren throw for last year, David? Do you know?
5.
Not close. It wasn't close to that, I don't think.
I think it was 5.
I'm going to say under. Yards. It's going to be like 1,800.
This is really difficult because I do think no smarm. they will pull him in some of these games because, like, for instance, they're 40-point favorites over a god-awful New Mexico team. Will he get the total there?
See, I think they leave him in the game, Mike, because he needs the game experience.
You know,
if he
was
a veteran, yes, you're right.
To hell with it. You know, 2099 year over. He'll have that in the first half.
It was 1199 for Davis Warren.
Okay.
Give me the over. Because it's still less than 200 passing yards a game. That's not a big number.
Yeah, I'll be taking the under here.
David, should we just go over for you?
Sure.
Okay.
Still got to remember that they're a run-heavy team.
And that's why I'm going under.
You know Bryce Underwood turned water into wine in his sleep?
He said, Jesus, move over. I got this.
Jesus, step right. aside.
Jay.
Sir.
JC, move. I got this. Running back, Justice Hayes, over touchdowns, over under 12.5.
Under. That's a big number. I'll go under. Plus, they like to use multiple people at the goal line post-quorum. And I just said over for Underwood's total T. I'll go under the 12.5.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. They expect big things out of Jordan Marshall, too, so that's why I'm going under.
Yep, same reasoning, under as well.
Under, because Bryce Underwood.
I'm going over because this was the Alabama transfer who's going to be that guy. I think he's going to eat up. He's going to become your Blake Corum this year and get all the touchdowns.
Watch this. Mike, remember when Michigan State got an Alabama transfer?
Oh, boy. Yeah, I do.
Sorry. He actually went to the league. All right.
Lean in. Why would he say
that? I've been to NFL games too, Rico.
Evan, great segue. Michigan State, over, under.
Under, they suck.
6.5 wins.
Oh, God.
It better be over. They need to fire this coach. There.
It's I don't care if I'm wrong.
Over, please. Over. God, yes. If you can't win six games, leave.
Do it for this man. You know how miserable he's going to be if they win four games this year?
Please.
The Big Ten is terrible. Give me the over.
David,
son is going to burn his hat if they don't win seven.
No, he's
seven.
Not.
Over.
Okay.
Yes, he will, Evan. Yes, he
will. Can't hide money.
I'm going to go over as well. So either we're going to look great or we're going to all look very, very stupid. Aiden Childs, total touchdowns. Oh. Over, under, 19.5.
Do you know when Bryce Underwood does push-ups, he simply pushes the earth down?
I heard that.
That's a good one. Is that an original?
Is that why we have earthquakes?
Yeah. Jeez, it's got to be over if they're going to win more than 6.5, so I'm taking over.
I forgot the question.
19.5 touchdowns for Aiden Childs.
Total over. Touchdowns.
Over.
Refer to my last answer, the Big Ten is terrible. Give me the over.
But that doesn't mean he can't get his numbers over.
I don't know.
I'm going to go over as well. So I set these numbers too low. All right. Aiden Childs turnovers this year.
Over.
Over, under, 10.5.
Oh, you know Bryce Underwood is so fast, he can run around the world and punch himself in the back of the head.
He's going to go very fast.
Very fast.
Aiden Childs turnovers, focus.
Give me the number.
10.5.
I'll say over. I still think he trusts his arm a little too much. Plus the fumbles. The fumbles drive me crazy. He's probably good for three or four of those.
Well, that's why I said total turnovers.
Yeah, I'll go over, sadly.
I got to go under to fit my narrative. They're going to be good. He can't be turning it over like that. He can't do more than one a game.
Yeah, I'll say under as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm going over.
I'm going to join you and Mike. David, I am going to go over as well. It is the fumbles and Aiden Childs total passing yards over under 2,199.5 yards.
Over.
Over.
I mean it when I say it. He's a buy low candidate. He's on a team that doesn't have a dominant ground game like U of M. I think he has a shot to lead the Big Ten in passing based on situation and how much he's going to have to carry. I think State's a 7 or 8 win team, but he's going to throw for a lot of yards. So I'll go over.
It should be over, but if they're doing these long, built-out, drawn-out play-action passes, mm-hmm. It's going to be under, uh-oh. But I'm going to say over. If they're running those plays again, Rico, just slap them.
I'm going to go under because I think it's going to be a very run-heavy offense. I think that's what Jonathan Smith wants to do.
I'm also leaning under because of those play-action. It's going to be that
they're
again.
So long. I feel like I could get back there and touch
Can somebody
them.
Wake Kenny up because I know we're talking big.
The long, drawn-out, long-developing. Yeah, give me the under.
Nick Marsh, total touchdowns, over, under, 7.5.
You know Bryce Underwood has a grizzly bear rug in his room? The bear's not dead. He's just afraid to move.
I'm gonna,
if he ever fights a bear, help the bear.
That's right. Best call 911.
He just dials 9.
Yeah. Yes, sir. I got to go.
Nick Marshall.
Under, because everything I read is how great this receiver room is, so he's going to spread the wealth.
He'll get 8 because Childs goes over on his total, so he'll get 8.
What's the total again? One more 6. Time.
7.5.
Oh, 7.5.
Yeah, I'm with David. 8. Not a bad number.
Ah, to hell with it. He's still going to get a huge target share. He's good contested catch. I'll go over.
All right. Jack Velling, over under. 4.5 touchdowns. No Bryce Underwood. Just answer the question because we run it short.
So do you know when Bryce Underwood turned 18, his parents asked him permission to leave his house?
Bryce, is it okay if we leave now? We know that you're 18.
I don't even remember the question.
Jack Velling, touchdowns.
I'll go under. I don't even know if Jack Velling's alive. Okay. Did we have a shipping error? Like, did they give us the wrong Oregon State tight end?
Yeah, we got Mac Velling.
Yeah. Mac Velling. I'll say under. I don't even know if Jack Velling's a real person anymore.
I kind of agree with Mike. I need to see it to believe it, so I'm saying under. He was so underwhelming, dude.
Boy, that was a great sales pitch by you guys. I think I'll go under as well.
He was really good at Oregon State.
You know what? I'm just going to say over just to have some fun. And finally, bonus... Dante Moore from the city of Detroit.
Under.
Over, under, total passing touchdowns, 17.5.
Under.
Is UCLA going to score 17?
No, no, Oregon.
Oregon. Oh, over then. Yeah, Dan Lanning loves to throw it.
Under.
Under for me as well.
Dude, Dylan Gabriel had that many.
He went to King. Under.
Under. I got to see it to believe it.
I'm going to go over just because Oregon is kind of idiot-proof. You can't Oregon lineup. So
Joey,
Bryce Underwood didn't dial the wrong number. You answered the wrong phone.
That's our Michigan State's receipt segments. 97.
Scott Anderson, 97 on a ticket. Happy Tuesday, everybody. It is game week in college football. I'm just thinking about, you know, so you go to bed tonight, wake up Wednesday, and then Wednesday will be the last day before there will be like a bunch of college football games on Thursday night. And I'm excited. I think that Nebraska-Cincinnati game they're playing in Kansas City at Arrowhead could be a pretty damn entertaining game. I have an old a baseball player that I coached years ago who is now starting at guard for UCF. Now go figure. He was a big first baseman and he was always one of the bigger kids. And then he went to Jackson Lumen Christie and was great there in Central Michigan. And now he's playing for Scott Frost at UCF and they play Thursday night. Keegan Smith. Go big 77.
Good luck.
Did anybody you ever coach make it in any, when you coached baseball?
Oh no. 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 No, not that I recall. There were only a couple kids on that team that were better than average. I would say way better than average. But neither of them went on to do. I don't think. Either. I know one of them didn't for sure. Yeah. It's my best friend's brother. But the other one, I don't think even went on to high school to do anything in high school.
Gotcha.
With that.
Well, Thursday night, I'll be locked in. Can't wait for that first real. More interesting night of college football. Certainly more interesting than week zero. Week zero is the starving man offered a saltine cracker. I'll take it. But Thursday's a little bit more appetizing.
When I moved to my new house 13 years ago or whatever, the kid who initially was had offered to mow my lawn, I'm like, oh, sure, sounds great. He ended up playing at Northwestern. He was an offensive lineman at Northwestern. Didn't play a ton. Hey, Big kid, and he's made something for himself since then.
So. I bet. You get that Northwestern degree?
Yeah.
Look out. Okay, so the big news in Ann Arbor yesterday was that Bryce Underwood was officially named the starting quarterback. That started to leak out. I think the team got told Sunday, started to leak out. Some reporters had it, and by the time Sherrill Moore made it official at his news conference at the 11 o'clock hour yesterday morning, it felt like everybody was reporting that he would be named the starter. And it sounds like they're willing to let him grow in that position, as in there's not going to be a quick hook. They're going to allow him to make mistakes. How did he earn this job? According to Coach Moore, he really started to separate himself at a scrimmage a couple weeks ago where he made a few throws and he started looking at Chip Lindsey, and the new offensive coordinator started looking back at him and saying, well, this could be our guy. I guess they were over in the big house when it happened. And it doesn't mean mistakes aren't going to be made. They are going to be made. But as Sherrone Moore said, and this is what's really going to be telling, because with freshmen, they will make mistakes. There's just no avoiding it. How many times do you make those mistakes? He said in practice, he doesn't make the same mistake twice. But I'll never forget hearing a story about a quarterback at Michigan who they knew this blitz was coming. There was an opponent that when they walked an outside linebacker up outside on the hit to hit the quarterback's left, it was always a dummy, like he was not really going to blitz, and that the blitz was coming from the right. So outside linebacker walks up, gets on the hip of the defensive end. That means the blitz is coming from the right. And you shift your protections to the right. They did it in practice during the week 10 times. 10 times. Every time the quarterback saw it, shifted the protections to the right. They get in the game. Outside linebacker walks up outside the hip of the edge rusher to the quarterback's left. His quarterback looked directly at him. Didn't shift the protections right after getting it right in practice every time, clapped his hands, took the snap, and got blown up by the blitzing linebacker. And it's an example of how practice is one thing, games are another. And, you know, with Bryce Underwood, does he make the same mistake twice? They say he doesn't in practice. Does it translate to the games? Because he's going to make a bunch of mistakes for a first time.
Yeah. I mean, he literally just turned 18, right?
Yep.
Like a couple days ago. So he's got a ton of talent, but he doesn't have experience. He's got experience in high school, for sure. Great experience in high school. But it's a totally different scenario. Stepping onto the field in front of over 100,000 people, looking across, you know, your own line that is going to be 6'4", 310 pounds across the board. Mm-hmm. On the other side of that is a defensive line that's going to be, you know, 6'2" and 290 pounds across the board. It's a totally different game. Everybody runs a 4.4 40 or a 4.5 40. So it's
what I can
the
hurt
speed
you
of the game is amazing.
When you go to tuck and run, in your previous football life,
mm-hmm.
you could tuck the ball and outrun almost everybody. That's not the case anymore. So where you really see it is young quarterbacks take unnecessary hits. Like, you should probably have stepped out of bounds. You thought you could turn the corner and get that extra 5 yards, but you should probably step out of bounds. That's where it could come back to haunt you. And, you know, I know Mike brought up yesterday in a crosstalk, what are realistic expectations?
Mm-hmm.
I tend to fall into the category of everybody just chill if he's not an All-American right away. Okay, everybody just chill. In fact, if he's not an All-American his freshman year, J.J. McCarthy as a freshman completed 58% of his passes in limited duty. D.J. Lagway last year, who was a top quarterback coming out, eventually got playing time at Florida, threw 12 touchdowns but nine interceptions. Arch Manning has basically been sitting for 2 years and growing and seasoning. Cade Klubnik was a top-ranked quarterback. Yeah, he was a top-ranked quarterback a couple of years.
Clubber.
Yeah, he threw 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions his freshman year in limited duty. I mean, that the example of how it can work out is Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, but that's a unicorn.
Not only is he a unicorn, he had NFL talent all around him. And that was a loaded Clemson team. Kelly Bryant was the starter at the beginning of that year back in 2018, 2019, whatever it was.
He was good, too.
And it was 5 games in before Trevor Lawrence took over. I will say this about Bryce Underwood and why I think there should be some grace and latitude provided for a freshman quarterback is there's still some questions about the offensive line. They have the transfer wide receiver in Donovan McCauley, who is expected to be wide receiver one. But as much as the quarterback position got attention last year in Ann Arbor, the wide receivers didn't exactly help the quarterback play out. They weren't guys running wide open. And when there was a contested catch, when there was a ball that was catchable, but it was going to get contested, they didn't make a lot of those catches.
No, which is why I think that people should, be very patient with Bryce Underwood because I don't think he's got the cast behind him or in front of him, as the case may be, that is requisite of just hitting the ground running. He's going to hit some stumbles. He's going to have obstacles, and he's incredibly talented. At some point, things are going to click well enough for him that he'll make the most out of it. In the meantime, you got to find somebody to step up in the receiver core. Hopefully, you know, for Michigan's sake, they have a running game that helps. You know, I always say tight end is quarterback's best friend. If you can find and Michigan has done a really good job of securing really good tight ends over the last, whatever, 8-10 years. So he's got a chance to survive for a while until things slow down enough for him where he can take off. But again, it's the wide receiver room that's going to have to step up because Michigan hasn't had the wide receivers over the years that they used to. They used to have guys all the time, and now it's been a serious drought for them.
Yeah, they really love McCauley, and they really love Andrew Marsh, who is a freshman coming in this year that Sharon said will be on kick return. And my guess is he's going to get integrated into the rotation of wide receivers as the year goes on. The Browder kid is 6'5". He's a big target. The Washington kid is a track guy, can really fly. But this is probably going to be the least talented offense, least proven offense that Bryce Underwood will play around. Like, the recruiting is so good. The guys that they will lose this year are El Hadi, the guard, Crippen, the center, McCauley, and Max Bredesen, the fullback tight end. Everybody else has eligibility left. Incoming freshman, next year's class. I think you're looking at much more talented offenses moving forward that he's going to have to work with. He can't try and do too much. The one thing that I would program my quarterback, actually, I'll tell you what it is. I program Bryce Underwood. We'll get to that today at 11:20. We'll talk about expectations for the Spartans. Jonathan Smith, year two, and their game against Western on Friday. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Make Builders First Source your destination for professional window and exterior door installations. You can add value and beauty to your home with trusted brands like Anderson, Pella, Therma-Tru, and more. And then you can have your new windows and doors installed properly the first time with their expert Builders First Source installation team. Done right with quality products and services. You can visit one of their locations in Clinton Township or Shelby Township or online at buildersfirstsource.com. That's buildersfirstsource.com.
Talking college football here on 97.1 The Ticket. Here's an interesting college football trivia question. Scott, when's the last year a team from Florida went to the college football playoff?
CFP. Well, let's see. Florida State won the national championship with Jameis Winston, but that was not the CFP. No. That was the BCS. And they should have been playing Michigan State in that game.
The CFP came into effect after the 2014 season.
Yeah, and Florida State should have made it a couple years ago, but because of the injury to the quarterback, the committee said no. And they would have gotten killed, but they deserved to be there. So no Florida State. I'm pretty sure Miami hasn't been there. Florida. I'm pretty sure Florida hasn't been there. I'm going to say never.
The first year of the college football playoff, Florida State made it, played in the Rose Bowl against Oregon and lost 59-20. That is the last time a team from the state of Florida has qualified.
So was Oregon and Alabama for the championship that year?
That was Oregon and Ohio State.
Well, I thought Michigan State was one of the first teams in the college
Michigan
football
State
playoff.
Was the second year.
Second year, okay.
Yeah. And Ohio State beat Oregon 42-20 in that game. Okay, so we're before the break, and I just made a comment about Bryce Underwood. And look, they're not don't need my coaching advice from me. But if I were Chip Lindsey, the new offensive coordinator, who said that of Bryce, he's literally one of the first in, last out kind of kids. He's a football junkie. He's in the building early, can't watch enough tape, stays late, etc. But I would program him that you have a defense that can win you any game. You have a defense that should be that good, and years ago, I was interviewing Mike DeBoard, who was Michigan's offensive coordinator in another radio life, and he made a comment that fans freaked out about. He said, you know, punt is not a bad play. And people lost it. How can an offensive coordinator say that punt is not a bad play? Well, it depends a lot on your team. If you are not turning it over and you have a great defense, it's not like you always want to punt, but throwing it away on third down, taking a sack on third down, you know, checking down when everybody's covered on third and forever because you're either throwing the ball into trouble or trying to give a player a chance to make a play and he doesn't. I would program the quarterback that the defense can win you games. Always know that. You don't have to force the football. Now, maybe late in the game it's different. But.
Yeah, different circumstances. But yeah, there's something to be said for being able to flip the field. It's great.
Yep. As far as I said, you know, I'm trying to keep expectations in line with reality. If you look at what quarterbacks have done their freshman year, how difficult it is. And if you look at like a Trevor Lawrence, I'm going to have to go back and look at his weapons. I know they had the Ross kid was with him. Trevor Etienne was with him. They were a loaded offensive team when Trevor Lawrence, they went 15-0.
They have Sammy Watkins on that team.
They might have. They went 15-0. They won the national championship. On offense, they had Hunter Renfrew, a wide receiver. Amari Rodgers played the NFL wide receiver. T. Higgins, who went to the NFL wide receiver. Justin Ross went to the NFL wide receiver. Cornell Powell. So that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They have 6 wide receivers that played in the NFL, some more than others. In the backfield, they had Trevor Etienne. I mean, they were loaded at the skill positions. Defensively, that was Christian Watkins was on that team.
But anyway, their defensive line was great.
So, Kang, you know, is there any keeping expectations or in check at all, or am I just fighting a completely uphill battle?
Be yourself, man. You do you, man. Be you, Doug Karsh.
Yeah.
I would think that the expectations, I mean, you have to start with, I think you start up top and you build your way down. Like, what are the expectations realistically for a win total this year? You know, is it 8? Is it 9?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think what people want is to keep being in the playoff year after year after year. But because you've got a true freshman quarterback and you're rebuilding an offensive line and trying to rebuild some other areas, I think you start to back off maybe that double-digit win total and you come down. Okay, so let's say you settle in around 8. Well, you're certainly playing in a bowl game at that point. So what does it mean for the quarterback himself? You want him to take care of the football as best he can. Maybe he's not going to have 30 touchdowns or 25 touchdowns his freshman year. I mean, 20 touchdowns would be a lot, I think. I think Aiden Childs had 16 last year with Michigan State. So if he gets 20, that's a big goal to hit. But if it's 20, which actually isn't a ton on the season, but a good goal for a freshman.
Yeah.
If you couple that with, you know, less than 10 interceptions, I think you're on a pretty good track.
Well, Dylan Raiola last year, right? Huge quarterback recruit at Nebraska, and he started and he threw 13 touchdowns, 11 picks. These are typical of extremely talented freshmen. And so, you know, as Kang said, I'll do me, but and everybody's going to have their own feelings of what to expect. I expect there to be a share of struggles because that's typically what happens, even with a lot of quarterbacks who go on to have great careers.
I guess for me, an expectation would be the last 5 games, you look way better than you did your first 5 games.
Yeah.
And that's what you want. Just growing in the right direction. You know, stats are just that. They're numbers. And really, it all depends on who you're playing and when you're playing them and how healthy the teams are and all that. But, you know, all things kind of being equal, you want to see growth in the right direction. And I think the Raiola comparison is interesting. Mm-hmm. I feel like when he came in there, automatically he was expected to be Patrick Mahomes. He looked like Patrick Mahomes and people were saying he's Patrick Mahomes and he wanted to play like Patrick Mahomes. He's pushing the ball downfield and then the turnover started to mount.
Yep.
Don't put that kind of pressure on yourself. You've got running backs at Michigan that are pretty good. If the offensive line can get it together, the running game and your tight end should keep you in most games, if not well ahead in most games.
Fans, what are your expectations? 248-539-9797. Like, when do you expect him to start looking like a really elite quarterback? Because I don't really expect it this first year, but For Bryce, all that matters is Ohio State go 6-6, improve and beat Ohio State. That's from Newton Westland. Steve in Madison Heights says, I would like to see college and pro football have like they do for balls and strikes. You fast the pass. What? Oh, they want to see how fast the pass was? You want to see how hard they throw it? Okay, it's hard to read, Steve, but I think that's what you're getting at. You'd like to see pitch speed for quarterbacks. Interesting. All right, Michigan State, on the other hand, what are expectations in year two for Jonathan Smith. Jonathan Smith between year one.
I hope
one
he's not anywhere near East Lansing is what I hope.
Jonathan Smith, first year at Oregon State, they went 2-10. Second year, they won 5 games. They improved by 3 games. Michigan State last year, they won 5 games. Can they improve by 3 games and be 8-4? Can they do that again?
I think Michigan State fans would be very happy if that's the case. It's still like they're still retooling with what this roster is. Obviously, they've made additions the last couple of years with the transfer portal like all teams do, and they're having to rely on it. But for Michigan State to take any step forwards, it's got to start with the quarterback in Aiden Childs. He has got to be better with the football than he was last year. I love that he takes chances downfield. He likes to throw it downfield, which is fun. But sometimes, like you said, a punt is okay. A punt's not a bad play sometimes. So watching him take better care of the football, a higher completion percentage than what he did. I think he was 58% last year. That's not good enough. I think it was 13 interceptions. That's not good enough. But he puts a lot of pressure on himself, and he knows what he's got to do. The one thing he's got is a pretty good core of wide receivers. Nick Marsh, the sophomore, is outstanding. And a couple of the transfers they have coming in, and they've got 4 transfer wide receivers, but a couple of them are really highly touted. Omari Kelly and Krishan McCray are both guys that had really big years last year for the respective teams.
Omari Kelly was at Middle Tennessee. Krishan McCray was at Kent State.
And they both had over, I think it was 750 and 850 yards receiving.
Kelly that started at Auburn? One of those two was an Auburn.
I think it was Kelly.
Okay.
I think he was the one that was there first. But they've got a good receiving wide receiver room, which is good. There's some unknown with the running backs. They've got a transfer in Tau Tolliver. But Tullis is back. They like Chase Clarizzo, who's the true freshman, local kid. They like him a lot. We'll see what emerges there at running back. But the offensive line is kind of where they feel like they've made a big improvement, that they've taken a big step forward. They've got real depth there. They like as many as 8 guys on the offensive line through a rotation that they feel very confident with. The center, Matt Gulben, he's a transfer from Wake Forest, I believe. He's very highly regarded. So they should be better at the offensive line. And as you know how I feel, if you're better at the offensive line, you can do so many different things, and running the football is going to be key. But using those receivers, that could be a lot of fun to watch Michigan State's offense this year.
You touched on something that I think is basically the backbone of what Michigan State needs to have. The area of growth that needs to have happen, and we'll get to that coming up. Next, it's Carson Anderson. We got open lines. Wolverine fans, what are your expectations for Bryce? What is realistic? At what point, how long do you give him before you go, okay, this is when I think he's really going to blossom? Because realistically, it's going to be very hard to do right out of the gate. Very talented, but short on experience. And we ran down some of the freshmen and what they have done. Some really guys went on to have really good careers, but what they did early and the struggles it came with. Also, Michigan State fans, year one to year two, it was a 3-win jump at Oregon State for Jonathan Smith. Could it be a 3-win jump? And would you take the 8-4? For them here in year two. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. All right, you've heard me talk about it. FanDuel Futures Day. It is today. So today is the day where you can log on and go find all the deals that they have. And there's an opt-in at the top of the page. You got to opt in. And once you've opted in, you can look at some of those futures you've been eyeing and see which ones have moved. It's a good day for your the dark horses, rather, the parlays, your Super Bowl champ, your national champion, your MVP. Take a look, because some of these lines have moved. 24 hours of deals on your football season predictions. So today's the day, your hunches, your hot takes, your calls, and more. Visit the FanDuel app today and start planning your futures bets now, because Futures Day is one day and one day only. FanDuel, Play your game. Must be 21 years or older and present in Michigan. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's back in time for week one. Set the tone, Greg. Lay it out.
Let's start with the trivia question. Do you guys remember, and Jim obviously more than Jeff, when we adopted Greg Palm's current methodology last year?
I don't know, right around the time the playoff came out, November?
Yeah, November 12th, week 12th. So that was pretty late in the season. This year, we have a true full season of Greg Palm right from the jump. The board is set, the matrix is all right. The teams are in their places. Did want to mention we have two new friends making the jump to FBS in 2025, Delaware and Missouri State, both in Conference USA. Brings our total up to 136.
I don't think we're going to hear Delaware or Missouri State again for Greg Palm, but welcome.
I'm just curious, how did he do last year? If you adopted it late, did you nail all top 12 teams?
No. His goal is to not predict the 12 teams.
Oh.
His goal is to give an unbiased ranking.
Oh, I got you.
It was more opinion-based until November.
Yes.
Understood.
But now we're going with data. Greg, lay it out to kick off the season.
Actually, before we get to the rankings, I do have a little surprise for you.
Oh, no. It's the Greg Palm Game of the Week.
Now, admittedly, I'm going to cheat here because I said I want this to involve at least one top 12 team. We don't have a top 12 team involved. That's because I've been looking forward to this game since I knew it was on the schedule three summers ago. And for this game, let's give you a little history lesson and go back to the magical year of 1990.
I thought Sony wasn't on the show anymore.
An absolutely nutso year in college football. Colorado and Georgia Tech split the national title.
Yes.
After Georgia Tech wins the coaches poll by 1 point. They are playing this week. It is the Friday night primetime game on ESPN. And not only have they not played since 1990, this is the first time they will have played each other in each program's history.
So this decides the 1990 national championship.
Took long enough.
Fair enough.
Unless next year they split and because they got the return game in Bobby Dodd next year.
Okay, points for the sounder. We will have a Greg Palm Game of the Week every week. I don't know why you picked this one given all the other ones, but I respect
historical
your quirks.
Nerdy.
Yes. Let's go through this. I'm dying to get the list. What do we got?
Okay, Jim. Number 12, we got LSU. Garrett Nussmeier returns at quarterback. A lot of promise for this LSU team to make the college football playoff. Did you know they have lost 5 straight season openers? And you know, when I try to break a season opener losing streak, I go and play at Clemson in week one.
Yeah, go ahead and make that 6.
All right, number 11 is Michigan. Time to see if we carry that end of season momentum into 2025. Did they find something? And it is finally official. Bryce Underwood is behind center.
Yeah, but he's at the end of the day, he's still a true freshman quarterback. I think this is ambitious, putting Michigan at 11. I would be shocked if they make the college football playoff this season. I think there's going to be at least a couple losses that you can attribute directly to freshman mistakes. And I think you're okay with it if you're a Michigan fan. Get it out of your system, develop the guy, and then maybe next year you're like a Florida, South Carolina, straight to the moon with your great young quarterback.
I mean, when you look at the losses, though, what are your for sure losses?
I think they're losing to Norman in week 2.
I would agree.
I think they're losing to Nebraska early in the season on the road.
Okay.
And Ohio State can't lose every year, right?
I mean, that's a fair point. You go 9-3, you're probably not making it, but 10-2 gets you in.
Number 10 is Miami of Florida. Cam Ward is out. Number 1 draft pick to the Titans. Carson Beck is in from Georgia. They host Notre Dame on Sunday. Number 9 is Boise State. Look, they lost Ashton Gentry to the NFL. Basically, if this is typical Boise, got a 2-game season at Notre Dame in week 6 and UNLV hosting Boise State hosting UNLV, who just had a tough game against Idaho State.
I would make a note that Boise State is on upset alert this week, Thursday night. South Florida, heat, humidity, 90, sticky. And while South Florida got their ass kicked a bunch last year, they return an offense that scored more than 30 points per game. The nuts and bolts are there. Upset alert for Boise.
Number 8, the Georgia Bulldogs. Interested to see them under Gunnar Stockton. Alabama, Tennessee, Texas, Ole Miss, they're all on the schedule. This week, they start with Marshall at home.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I can't see Georgia even making the playoffs. The O-line last year was the worst in Kirby Smart's era. I'm not sure how much that's going to be better. They lost a ton of talent to the NFL, one of the youngest rosters in the SEC. You mentioned Gunnar Stockton. I think this is a year that Kenny Cott's going to be pissed. Georgia's going to be way down.
Number 7, Alabama. They're returning 8 starters on the defensive side of the ball, and Ryan Williams, without Jeremiah Smith, would have been the best freshman wide receiver in the country last year. So big game for them. They are at Florida State, a true road game in Tallahassee to start the season. Number 6, we've got the Oregon Ducks. They're only returning 5 starters from last year's Big Ten championship team. Remember, in the portal last year, they got Dante Moore. He's going to be starting now at quarterback. And Mekhi Hughes from Tulane will be starting in the backfield alongside Moore. Number 5, Clemson. Maybe not so dead anymore. Do they have the championship formula? Jim, you've addressed this quite a bit. An elite quarterback, skilled outside weapons, and a destructive defensive line. They've got that huge Saturday night matchup hosting LSU.
The Battle of Death Valley.
Number 4, Ohio State. I had to remind a friend as little as 2 weeks ago that, yes, Matt Patricia is their defensive coordinator.
He looks good, by the way.
They are hosting Texas.
Hold on. He lost some weight. There's a difference between him looking good and he lost some weight.
I'm just saying he looks good compared to how he used to look.
He'll always be a bozo.
But don't you feel that the Buckeyes are going to be a tad overrated? They got a redshirt freshman in Sayan as their quarterback. They lost 11 dudes to the NFL. And they lost dudes, Jim and Greg. Yep. They lost Henderson and Ibukwa. And their schedule, work with me. Texas, probably loss. Mm-hmm. At Illinois, potential loss. At Nebraska, tricky. At Michigan,
no gimme.
And then at Washington, too, which I understand nobody believes in Washington. Kind of a tough trip. I think when it's all said and done, the Buckeyes are going to be a tad disappointing.
I like you fading Georgia and Ohio State.
One thing I do want to mention about Patricia is, part of the reason why he failed with the Lions is because he was kind of a douchey tyrant. Is there more leeway to act that way in college?
Oh, because the kids have to listen to him.
Yes. Urban Meyer was the way he was in college, was one of the best college coaches of all time, and failed in the pros because of that. Interesting to take a look at.
I want to clarify, Patricia didn't just fail with the Lions. He also went to the Eagles and ruined their defense the year before they won the Super Bowl.
And I'm sure he's... You know what? I'm very upset with myself because that should have been the number one reason why you fade Ohio State. Yes. Because of Matt Patricia, despite looking good.
All right,
the
number 3
is still really scraggly, though.
Yeah.
Number 3 is Texas. They are the highest-ranked team that still has an over-under at 9.5. It's still on the upper end of that, but still at 9.5. Number 2, Penn State. Now, depending on your sports book, they have the best odds of any team to finish over 10.5 wins. What I found was -105 are the odds for that. They will start with Nevada.
Okay, so I'm a dope. I know everybody says Penn State, James Franklin, 4-20 against top 10 teams. This is the year, Jim.
Oh, God.
This is the year, Greg. Drew Aller, a third-year starter. They're going to the postseason. Their toughest game is at Ohio State. Not quite sure how good the Buckeyes are going to be. They get Nevada this week. They're a 44.5-point favorite. This is the year for the Nittany Lions in Crappy Valley. I truly believe this.
Is it because you and James Franklin have the same haircut?
We do. We both look good.
I'll believe it when I see it. I know they have all the advantages. Soft schedule. They host Oregon in what's going to be a whiteout at night. I just don't believe it till I see it.
But they're going to make the playoff.
Oh, they'll be in the playoff.
Okay.
And James Franklin, by the way, in some ways, is the best college football coach for bettors. You know he'll win the games he should, yes. And you know he'll lose the games he should.
He was kind of like Harbaugh before cheating.
Got to find his stallions.
Guys, if you're filling in the blanks, you know who's coming in at number 1. Everyone's favorite independent, Notre Dame. There is significant separation, actually, between them and number 2, Penn State. The difference between them and Penn State is actually greater than the difference between 2 and 6.
Based on what? Why are they number 1?
Their over-under is at 10.5. They have the most expected wins of anybody outside of Penn State, and their schedule is quite difficult. Greg Palm will reward you for a difficult schedule. Got to see it play out, but that is what we are rewarding Notre Dame for.
Early in the schedule, they play, at Miami? They're going to get A&M early.
Yeah, that's a huge test. That's kind of how they opened last year was big primetime road game. Do want to mention, O-line is one more year experience across the board. They're replacing Riley Leonard with C.J. Carr, and we mentioned that game at Miami to start the season.
The thing I'd say about Notre Dame, C.J. Carr will be a different quarterback than Leonard. The offense will have to be different. Can they get some verticality to the passing game? Can they have a balanced offense? They're going to run the football. I have no doubt about it. They're going to be in the college football playoff. I have no doubt about that.
I have no doubt about that.
But I don't know if they're winning it with a freshman quarterback, albeit a redshirt freshman.
I just like that Greg Palm, Greg Hargrave, he rewards you for having a tough schedule. I enjoy that about Greg Pomp.
You get credit when you beat good teams.
Yes, I dig that.
That's how it should be.
Tell that to the SEC.
2026, you're going to get with it.
Eventually.
That's Greg Pomp. Yeah, one of these days. It's 97.1.
That was pretty much my reaction when I heard about Alex Cobb, but we'll get to that later. Hi.
Hey, what's...
That's Jeremy just reacted. Okay. The genesis of your... Where is this now? Hold on, brother. Everything's out of whack now. Where the hell is your little deal? Here. That wasn't sensual in any manner. You were laughing about something, but for whatever reason, it came out like that.
Right.
Well, we were breaking Jeremy's balls Friday, and then he came out with this gem.
He sounds so disgusting.
So naturally, that has been on the board. People are very excited about it. Okay. And it's going to be a submission for the drop tourney probably. So, yeah. But we'll get to the Alex Cobb thing in a little bit. Let's... If we spent way too much time talking about this off air and how to do this topic, I felt guilty because at one point I turned to you guys. I go, guys, I'm 44. I don't do media drama. Like, I don't care. So it's, I want to ask this question. And no, I don't know who banned who first. Did Fox say Dave Portnoy's not going to be in Ohio Stadium? Did Ohio State do it? Did the Big Ten do it? I don't care. I want to ask a different question, and the question is the following. As we all hurtle towards college football, it did start last weekend, but in earnest this weekend, you have these two personalities that each network has added, and it's in an effort to get you to watch. Clearly, you don't hire people for you not to watch, I don't think, but whether it's Pat McAfee and Dave Portnoy. Now, they're two very different people with very different views on how to do things, but they're both entertainers. The question we landed on was the following. When ESPN brought on McAfee, and now that Fox is bringing on Dave Portnoy, does it move you closer to watching or just simply push you further away from watching? Now, I think you and I are the same in this. You said what? It's been a while since you've watched pregame shows.
Man, it's been a long time. After Pollock left, I said that was a good time for me to go as well because I don't really care. Then it became background noise. Okay, I'll watch for the whole, you know, the pick segment, and then that became so hokey. Like, what are we doing here? I got better things to do with my life.
Well, so. It's also, I'll tell you this, and it's a separate topic, but no, I'm not watching Saturday with Lee Corso. I don't care. Nothing has ever been more overblown than a guy putting on a mascot head. Lee Corso should have been off TV at least 5 years ago. So, thank God it's done because I feel for Lee Corso. And shame on his family for allowing it. It's ridiculous.
It got awkward the final couple of years.
Yeah. So, my point is, look, from a ESPN perspective, I think the show is terrible. It's not a McAfee thing. I get why they have McAfee there. He's a positive guy, but he's also like kind of a party guy. And yes, he played the game. So there is a qualifier there. Yes, he was a punter, but he played the game. Now, the other side of it is, look, Portnoy's going to do what he does, which is inflame and be acerbic. And, you know, look, that's his game and he's good at it. But here's my problem. Neither of these shows has anything to do with me. I mean, the Fox show, forget it. It was already hard enough to watch. Unless you're a Michigan fan, I don't know why you'd watch. I don't. The McAfee thing, if you want to say SEC fan, that's different. That still encompasses 16 teams. The Fox thing, if you're a fan of a team not named U of M, I don't know how you watch. So I'm asking you guys. We're probably just too close to it because we do this for a living.
Correct.
I don't want any part of it. But I'm asking the fans as a part of our college football kickoff. By the way, congratulations. I know you're excited about Friday. Just because Nona's not excited doesn't mean we're not celebrating Christmas this year.
Okay.
248-539-9797.
Nona will get you excited.
So listen, does it bring you closer or push you away? And the news today about Portnoy not being in the stadium and who banned who, and you can leave me out of it. I don't know what the real story is, and frankly, I'm not interested. I mean, if you're Fox, you know who you hired. I would expect you to back your employee. Otherwise, why'd you hire him? You knew what you were getting.
Yeah.
And Dave is unapologetic, and he's going to be who he is. And on that level, I respect it. I don't have to agree with everything he does. The point is, Fox, you know who you got in bed with. So stick up for your person. Now, if Ohio State banned him, that's soft. That's ridiculous. I know you disagree.
No, because I don't think we'll ever find out the actual truth. I think now Fox just kind of tried to get ahead of everything and said, well, you know, we're just going to keep him away. And it's like, well, why did you hire him if you don't want him inside the other Big Ten stadiums? That makes no sense, because then he becomes a look at me. I'm not allowed in the stadium. So is that going to be a segment where what's Dave doing while we're here at the desk?
I don't know. I don't know, and I'm with you. I don't think we'll ever get to the bottom of it, and I'm not going to waste energy doing it. I'm more interested in the state of pregame shows in 2025. Whether it's the NFL or college, do you watch these things? And hiring a McAfee or hiring a Portnoy, does it make you want to watch more or less? I'm asking. It's not my purview. I don't do pregame shows.
No, it makes me want to watch it even less, because I get nothing from this. I mean, it's like I said, it used to be background noise, but now it's like, well, nothing. And that's why I said, when David Pollack was there, at least I would gain some knowledge. I felt like I got something. Like, okay, whether it was helping you make a bet, or you learn something about a team or a coach, or him telling you about when he played. But now it's just a bunch of guys up there just laughing and yucking it up. And, hey, here we are, and here's the food, and they're serving us this. And it's like, okay, but in the end, it's 4 hours of what? Nothing. Or 3 hours of what? Nothing.
I mean, Kenny, you're an SEC guy. ESPN, game day, McAfee, is that, you know, you're more the demographic, younger guy. To bring you closer, push you further away.
See, when it comes to like McAfee, or when it comes to Dave Portnoy, either one, I mean, they're definitely their own brand of something. Dave Portnoy likes to rile people up. McAfee likes to hype the crowd up. Those are the brands, right?
Does either bring you closer?
So what both of those have essentially done is accomplished the exact same thing. Those shows that you're describing, those have always been background noise to me. Now they've cemented themselves as background noise to me. I'm not dialed in. I'll throw them on because I want something football related in the background while I, you know, do my morning routine or whatever on a Saturday. But outside of that, I mean, they provide me nothing. They add nothing to my experience, and they also don't really take much away, because those are people I don't care about. I don't care about Pat McAfee. I certainly don't care about Dave Portnoy.
But again, as a Georgia fan, at least the ESPN show is catered to you.
Yes, it is to a degree. And I will, I guess, watch when it's Georgia related, when it's my team, when it's localized for
me.
But
like if you're an Oregon fan, if you're a State fan, if you're a Penn State fan, if you're anyone but Michigan, I don't know what the draw is to watch Big Noon.
There isn't one. There's no.
That's my puzzle, is like, Kenny, your job is not to cater to Michigan and Michigan State. Your job is to cater to America first, the Big Ten second. You're catering to one school. There's a 0% shot you're getting me. Like, why am I going to watch? I already know my team's bad. Like, what? I'm going to turn it on and they're going to like hit Sparty with a cake in the face? Like, what am I supposed to do?
Each year, as the years go by, has pushed me away a little bit more. Made me care less and less and less. And this is just another step in that process.
All right, David, you're a Michigan guy. Does Portnoy bring you closer to Fox, or does McAfee bring you closer to ESPN? Like, do you watch these? Because Saturday is supposed to be this big thing of, you know, Lee Corso send-off and then Portnoy's debut. And you're like, look, it is OSU Texas. But I'll watch the game, duh. But I have no reason to turn that on pregame, because what are you bringing to me? I'm not interested in a Wolverine perspective on OSU Texas. I just want to watch the game. I want to hear about the game.
I'm with you. I mean, David, real quick, it feels like it's almost a gimmick. Like, I don't know if Fox just felt the need. We got to make sure people watch. So let's ban Portnoy, and so you won't watch Lee Corso. But Lee Corso should have been gone years ago. it was painful to watch. It truly was. It was like, you know, Herbstreit had to literally prop him up and almost treat him like a puppet and say, okay, Lee, do this. Say, no, Lee, camera's over here. Say that. No, Lee, don't say this. It's like, or we can just stop it at COVID when you had to do it from his house. Let the man go out with some respect and dignity instead of how you did it the last couple of years.
248-539-9797. Dave, what are your early returns on ticket text?
ESPN Game Day is what I love to watch. I'm 27. It's not as much Pat, but he is very good and then gets everybody excited for the game. I love that part of what he brings. Fox is truly a propaganda show. I will no longer watch, not even give it a try. Definitely watching, someone says. I watched the Barstool pregame last couple years, so now it's even better seeing Dave on the main stage. McAfee gets me closer to watching game day because he's fun and makes it entertaining. I can't stand Portnoy, and I'm a Michigan fan. Never watch Big Noon kickoff anyway. That is Kevin in Wixom.
I'll just never forgive Fox for taking games like Texas and Ohio State and putting them at noon. I just wanted to say that. Like, stop trying to make Big Noon a thing, please.
I voted against it in the meeting.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
We were doing this wrong.
I appreciate
maybe
that.
Maybe the worst decision ever.
Possibly the worst. 248-539. When they said they were moving games to noon, here was Rico. RI 97.1.